Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of John, chapter 15. Friends and Enemies is the title of our message today. John 15, let us stand. We'll be reading verses 1 through 8. This chapter, over and over again, talks about the need to bear fruit. And as believers, we are to be fruit bearers. And it says in verse 1, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. They're on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and we know that Jesus will be betrayed there by Judas. He'll be arrested, and yet as he's walking towards the garden, he is still teaching his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. May I say this, the word of God is powerful, and we need it to be part of our life. And I believe that every church needs to be a Bible church, and it needs to proclaim the word of God. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Did you catch that? Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. We are easy prey for our enemy, the devil. So stay close to the Lord. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. And Lord, we pray that we would abide in you, remaining strong and bearing fruit. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Fruit bearing. We find there in verse 4 that the source of the fruit is the vine. And we can do nothing without being with Jesus. There is the removal of fruitless branches there in verses 2 and 6. And if we are not producing, the branch will be removed. The blessings will be removed. There's the pruning of the fruitful. My wife, as you may know, has taken some master gardening classes, and she has informed me of things that I have done wrong in the past in pruning our crabapple tree in the back. So this year, she had someone else come and do it. And when they were done and left, and I was glad they cleaned up their mess, I said, it doesn't look any better than when I did it. And she goes, oh yeah, they did it right. And she's already paid for this year for it to be done. Oh well. There's the conditions of the fruitfulness. They must remain in him to be cleansed, to be abiding, and to be obedient. The results of fruitfulness, of course, is you bear much fruit, and there's the prize-winning fruit. Herein is my Father glorified. Do you want to glorify the Lord? I mean, that should be the desire of every Bible believer, is to glorify the Lord, that we are here left on this earth once we accept Christ as our Savior to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. And that should be our desire. And we should want to bring prize-winning fruit, that we have been fruitful. But these are things we covered last week, and now as we begin thinking of the believer and his relationship with Jesus. And how is your relationship with Jesus? I've been talking to a number of people of late concerning people who have dementia, and how all of them have said, if you're going to have a good relationship with the person who has dementia, you must be patient. Because they are going to give you the same story over and over and over and over and over and over again. And so I say, yes, Dad. And even if he changes the facts of things, I say, yes, Dad. You know, the fact of the matter is I want a right relationship with my father. And I want my sons to see how I treated my father so that when I get dementia, they'll treat me nicely and listen to my stories that I'm going to repeat over and over and over again. But how is your relationship with the Lord? Is it one-sided? Are you expecting him to do everything? Are you expecting him to bless you? And are all your prayers, Lord, give me this and Lord, give me that and do this, Lord? Or do our prayers include, thank you, Lord, for what you have given? And do you thank him for all that he has provided? But let's begin reading, if you would, at verse 12. This is my commandment, Jesus speaking, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Did he lay down his life for you? The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. It's either your death or the death of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ died because of your sins, because of my sins. He had to die. And verse 14 says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth what? Fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, it may be given to you. Our relationship with the Lord should be close. My wife and I have been married come June, 44 years. That seems incredible. We were so young, 12 or 13. Not quite that young, Brother Bob. It's funny that when we got married, my wife and I were the same age. We graduated high school together, and we were the same age. Somehow, she's 10 years younger than me, and she looks 20 years younger than me. It's the beard. Yes, thank you. May I say this? If you're anti my beard, talk to Donna, because as long as she likes it, guess what? It's remaining. Yeah, thank you, Brother Jones. I don't want to create a civil war there in your home. But how close are you to Jesus? He wants to be your friend. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus knew the need. And he knew we couldn't take care of the need. He knew that we needed a Savior, that we needed salvation. He knew we could not provide it for ourselves. And so he came to die. Jesus did not come so that we would give gifts one to another, though that's very nice, isn't it? He came to die. And he is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. Our eternal life comes through the death of Jesus. He has chosen us and ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit. Last night I went to let me read it to you because I have it here someplace. I wanted to make reference to this. Wild game benefit dinner. Have you ever been to a wild game dinner? They had there alpaca. I didn't like eating that nice looking animal. Buffalo. Now the buffalo stew, that was really good. Camel, duck, elk, frog legs, kangaroo. pheasant, rabbit, roast beef, salmon, turducken, venison, and wild boar. Now, somebody had to go and purchase these things. I don't think they went and hunted them. But when you go to dinner, aren't you glad there's food there? Yes. A couple of Christmases ago, Brian and Erica gave us a gift card to a restaurant. I was excited. Don't you like it when someone gives you a gift card to a restaurant? Absolutely. And we've enjoyed some of your gift cards that you gave us at Christmas time, and we've gone out to eat. And so this was in Royal Oak, which should have told me right off there was something wrong. It was in Royal Oak. And so we drove over to Royal Oak, and we found this little restaurant, and it was little. And found a parking spot and went in, and we sat down, and then I found out it was a vegetarian restaurant. My wife looked at me, and she goes, "Are you going to be okay?" I said, what can they do wrong to a salad? And it was good. And they did offer other things. We'll move along. But when you go to a restaurant, you enjoy the food. Now, I must admit, I enjoy going over here to Longhorn or Golden Corral, though my wife usually pulls me over to Longhorn. We enjoy eating. Because when you go to a restaurant, you want to eat what? Food. You want the food. Where our Lord and Savior wants something from us, he wants fruit. Now, we're not talking about bananas or apples or oranges, but we're talking about our actions and how they are honoring God and how we are talking to others about the Lord. Fruit. And so our relationship with the Lord really is how close are you? And what are we doing to provide fruit? But then there's the believer and the world. And as we read verses 18 through 21, I want you to think of how we are in the United States of America today. The relationship of the believer and the world. Beginning at verse 18. If the world hate you. Now, who is the you? In verse 18, if the world hate you, the believer. What believer? Someone that believes in NASCAR? Someone that believes in Bank of America? No, the believer in Jesus Christ, the believer in this, in the Word of God. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated who? Me. Who's talking? Jesus. So if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. I should hear an amen there that he has chosen you out of the world. That he has chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Does that sound like the United States of America today? Dr. Ken Ham, you probably know him through Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum down in Kentucky, and now he has the Ark Adventure. And if you haven't been there, I would encourage you to go. It's very encouraging. And may I say this, when you go to the Ark Adventure and you're riding from the parking lot back to where the Ark is and you're on the bus, get on the right side of the bus. Okay, get on the right side because you're going to go around a turn and then the ark is going to be there. And you're going to say, wow, See, we think of the ark as being about as big as this auditorium. But the ark is as big, if you get outside from the front of our sign and you walk to the back of our parking lot. That's how big the ark is. It's mammoth. And you'll think to yourself, how in the world did Noah and the men of that era build something that big? But Ken Ham writes, many Christians wonder what's happened to American society. Biblical values are increasingly ridiculed, and God has largely been kicked out of the public arena. For those Christians who dare stand up against things like same-sex marriage and or abortion, they often face backlash. What has happened in this nation? By and large, our society has replaced the foundation of God's word with man's word. The teaching of evolution as fact instead of as a theory has had terrible consequences. Instead of having a general biblical foundation for morality, our culture simply does whatever is right in its own eyes. And Judges 21:25 says, in those days every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In the recent magazine that came from Answers in Genesis, there is the following statements by John Dunphy, in writing in a secular magazine, writes. Now, this is a atheist talking about the need to indoctrinate your children, your grandchildren, in the field of being atheists. He writes, John Dunphy, I am convinced that the battle for mankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as proselyters of a new faith, a religion of humanity that recognizes and respects the spark of what theologians call divinity in every human being. These teachers must embody the same selfless dedication as the rabid fundamentalist preachers, for they will be ministers of another sort, utilizing a classroom instead of a pulpit to convey humanist values in whatever subject they teach, regardless of the educational level, preschool, daycare, or large state university. The classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism. Folks, the reason he talks about a rotting corpse of Christianity is because too many Christians have produced no fruit. And evolution has been taught as fact instead of fiction. May I say this? Evolution is fiction. Ponder the human eye. It's amazing. And yet evolutionists would tell you it just happened. How did it happen? Why did it happen? Why did those early amoebas think, well, we need an eye? What caused them to think they needed an eye? And why two eyes? Why stop at two? Don't mothers have four eyes, two in the back and two in the front? You know, why are the eyes where they're at? Why aren't they in different locations? And evolutionists would tell you over the millions of years it took to evolve that this is where we're at. Well, where are the missing gaps? They're still missing, aren't they? Evolution is a very poor theory. But see, if you don't want to believe there is a God, you have to have some other reason we're here. You have to have another reason. The God of this world, who is the devil, has not only blinded the minds of men and women, he has, according to Revelation 12:9, deceived the whole world. Do you believe that he's deceived the world? Absolutely. He has deceived us into thinking that humanists have the right, and we as Christians who follow the Bible do not have the right. Let me ask you this. Do you believe it's important that children are disciplined? And yet humanists say you don't want to hurt their psyche. You don't want to, well, hurt them so that they don't know how to grow up to be what? Proper adults? I used to hate it when my dad would say, get in the other room. You know what? I knew what was going to happen in that other room. Do you think he was wrong to spank me? Well, I do. I was never wrong. You don't believe that for a moment, do you? You know, the fact of the matter is, people like Dr. Spock, people like that, they're humanists. They're anti-Bible. Is the Bible right? Be careful. The Bible teaches a lot of things, doesn't it? And today's society says, you don't have to follow that advice. That's for another age. That's for another time. You know why we have that thinking today? Because our enemy, the devil, has deceived us. He has blinded us. Noah's day was a time of rampant sin. According to Genesis 6:5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. If you think it was bad in Noah's day, do you think it's just as bad today? It's just as bad, if not worse. And did God judge that people? He did. He sent a flood. And he destroyed all but Noah and his family. And as we said in Romans 6:23, it tells us that the punishment for sin is death, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. Now, I understand that this Tuesday is a big day. Do I hear an amen? I don't hear too many amens. But we know that there will be giving of gifts. Well, what are some things that are going to be given? Chocolate. Diamonds. Your husband just gave you a look. But there's going to be chocolate, right? Flowers, roses, etc. There will be given trips to restaurants, and there will be jewelry. Some will have diamonds. Yes. But gifts. I'm not sure what someone said, but you in the back, you heard that. But may I say this? If I were to give Donna something and I would put it on the table, what if she didn't take it? It would just sit there, right? The gift has been offered, but she has said no. God has offered a gift, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Do we have to take it? We don't. In fact, many will say, I'll think about it, maybe later. And then the evil one will come and say, well, you know, you're a pretty good person. I mean, you haven't killed anybody. You haven't, you know, stolen from anybody. You don't cuss. I mean, you know, you're a pretty good person. But the fact of the matter is, all of us have sinned, and we all need a Savior. We all need the gift of God. The punishment that was brought against those of Noah's day was just, for God hates sin. And he was perfectly justified in imposing on that wicked and sinful world punishment. And may I say, punishment is coming our way too. Because we as a nation, we as a world have defied God. We have shaken our fist in his face and said, we don't need you, because we have our own divinity within us. We are, after all gods. They're liars. I'd like to close with three thoughts found number one in verse 19. Ye are not of the world. There needs to be a separation between us and them. We are called by His grace. We are cleansed by His blood. We are sanctified by the indwelling of His Spirit. We are to be separate. We are to be different. We are to act and talk and smell differently than the world. There is the opposition, because ye are not of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So there should be a hatred against us. And don't be surprised if they come against us because of our beliefs. And so there's separation and there is opposition, but we are to be witnesses for our Lord. Notice what it says in verse 27. And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Ye also shall bear witness. Yes, the disciples were to bear witness, and we are disciples also of our Lord. We are to be witnesses of God's holiness. We are to be witnesses of God's love. We are to be witnesses of God's grace and mercy. So are we separated? Is there opposition? And are we being a witness? Shall we stand together? We're going to sing a song of invitation, number 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Do you want the Lord to have His way in your life? Do we want the separation? Do we want it even if it costs us opposition? And are we being truly a testimony for the cause of Christ? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have the invitation time, we ask, Lord, now that You would bless us, protect us, use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.